One of the things I wanted to get to you about, we couldn't get to last time, Detective, is about kids finding drugs, accessing them online and buying them, sometimes to tragic results. But I do just want to mention, you emailed me because you were watching the young women who were testifying in the gymnastics thing and Larry Nassar before Congress today. It made a real impact on you.
Anna, I was incensed. These poor girls being put through this torture and the allegations that they had against the FBI, how they mishandled, and so many things were going through my head, because I've done over 300 of these cases in my career, and there is a set protocol that we have, and one of the senators had spoken up about the Child Advocacy Centers nationwide, and I did not hear that from any of these girls testifying, and it is a travesty that the FBI had put these girls through such horrific reliving that moment, and local law enforcement has a protocol set so that doesn't happen. And the things that were missed, I mean, they should have been doing, you know, what we call a forensic interview. They should be doing search warrants, overhears, you know, just an in-depth investigation to protect these girls. And when they reported the investigation, more girls had been victimized because they had never shut him down. And you may want to think about what, you know, what does electronics have to do with this? When you see in the news, Anna, that there was somebody arrested for child pornography by one of our Internet Crimes Against Children task forces, almost 80% of those people who are arrested for child pornography are hands-on offenders. It's not just some guy looking at horrible pictures. And when you do it in reverse, when you have a hands-on offender, odds are there's going to be child pornography on their devices in their computers. So, you know, the FBI is so willing to do search warrants and go after people, drug dealers, whoever. But when it comes to little kids, that's not their forte.
Yeah. Why, and then why not? I mean, right. It just seems like they should be a priority. I would say it certainly seems as if the FBI dropped the ball here. You saw the testimony of Simone Biles. You saw the testimony of Allie Raisman. You saw four survivors, just four. There are dozens, if not many, many, many more, who basically it boggles the mind about how this could be dropped. So what should have been done? Like, if multiple young women, juveniles, come forward and report this kind of thing to authorities, you know, how should they have acted? You've done these cases.
Well, I mean, it should be immediately done to local law enforcement. And if that local law enforcement doesn't have enough training and ability to do these types of cases, then you give it to the state police, or you give it to the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. And we locally, we have the power to do one interview and give those girls or boys the ability to have to deal with recovery, to deal with trauma, using things like EMDR, using things like therapeutic trauma-informed care. All of those things a CAC provides the victim. Mm-hmm. And so once that wrap around that victim is done, law enforcement moves in and do what they have to do, whether it be secret recordings, whether it be pulling garbage, whether it be going after him with a search warrant, searching his social media. These are things that we do day in and day out to make a case that's Loctite.
Right.
And that's what we need to do to protect our kids. And one question that I had is that, where were the parents?
Which parents? The gymnast parents?
The parents of the girls, the victims.
Well, I'm sure that they were probably thinking, well, they talked to the FBI. The FBI will do the right thing. They spent hours with the FBI.
Yeah,
they're probably just building a case. I don't know. I wouldn't blame the parents. I really wouldn't.
No, I'm not blaming the parents. But here's the thing, that they're looking for things that the senators were continually asking the girls, what do you want to see done? What do you want to see done? And I was thinking in my head, well, you know what? If the Olympics are paying for these girls to go, and they have sponsors and all this other stuff, they pay for everything, they should be accompanied by a parent or guardian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's training, whether it's to a doctor visit, they're minors. You know,
they're minors. Right.
And minors.
It just speaks to the whole mind-boggling sort of wonder, bewilderment about how the FBI, having this many minors come forward, speak to them for hours eat one after another, tell the same story about a man. They have all the resources in the world. They have all the you're talking about a small department. They had it in front of them,
yes,
to their attention,
yes,
and drop the ball. Hey, I don't want to run out of time, though, before we get to talk about something else, because, Rich, we could go on about this.
It incensed me.
Yeah,
and
I feel
wish I can hold every one of those girls' hands to show them and
they're
tell
so
them
strong.
It's going to be okay and it's not their fault.
They're so strong.
You know?
I mean, think about how many times they've had to tell this story. How many times they've had to go through this.
It should have only been once.
Right. Oh, okay, hey, I got to get to this. Dave, already we're getting listeners text us in to say they really want to know this answer, because I want to know, too. I don't really understand this. 630 says, my 16-year-old niece is buying drugs online in Naperville, and I would love to know how she's doing that. How's she doing it? How are they doing it?
Okay. So here we go. So what has happened over the past, during the pandemic, kids are spending so much time online, okay? Now, I teach a program called How Do I Know? And how do I know if my kid is doing drugs or vaping and doing drugs? And so the first thing that we tell parents is that, look, you are not only responsible for your kid's food, clothing, shelter, and education, you are responsible for their technology as well. That phone that they're using is not their phone. There is no such thing as privacy for your children. That's the first thing that parents have to understand. And the phone they're using is the parents' phone. I don't care if Nana, Nonu, Tia, Tiu bought them that device. The parents are allowing them to have it. Therefore, the parents should have unfettered access to that device. Okay, I'm not saying that, you know, their whole world is an open book, but through monitoring, okay, and what I show parents is that, and unfortunately we're going to talk about luck with Dr. Laura, and her unfortunate son, and what had happened is people that they know have created fake, not fake accounts, but other accounts that deal with drugs, whether it's Xanax, whether it's weed, whether it's waxing, vaping, whatever it is. And what happens is that they order these drugs, and then they get delivered close to their house. And with all the drugs coming in off of the southern border, with all the activities on the darknet, with all the activities from China, there's so much fentanyl coming into our country that they are flooding, and people are buying them and selling them on Instagram and Snapchat. So to answer the caller's question, you have to have a number of things to give to law enforcement. You have to have screen captures of everything. Make sure we have the user ID, okay? We have to have screen captures of the chat. We have to have a written statement from the parent or from the victim. And a lot of times kids are not going to give up their sources. But if we have that phone, we can do a physical forensic of that cell phone to find out who this person is and track them down through our protocols of getting subpoenas and search warrants and finding out who they are. Now, Snapchat and Instagram and the rest of social networks, it's been reported that they do not cooperate with law enforcement. That is absolutely false. They will cooperate with law enforcement. And as long as law enforcement knows how to do a preservation, subpoenas, and search warrants, we are going to find out who this person is.
Mm-hmm. But in the case you mentioned, Dr. Laura Berman and Sam Chapman, who I know, and I've actually met their son, who tragically passed away, he ordered them, was it online? But they said they were delivered right to his house. That's how he did it.
Yes. So what had happened was he wanted some Xanax. So when he was studying for something, he wanted to take a break. He had already ordered it to a Snapchat friend. And again, don't forget, everyone, that when you have your Snap Maps on their Snapchat, you can track anybody within 20 feet of where they're at. So if you have your location services on your Snapchat, they can locate you or your child within 20 feet. So he says, Mom, I'm going to go for a walk. I want to clear my head. And then he walks down to the corner, meets the person that he knows who's the drug dealer, and they give him a Xanax. Well, actually, it was laced with fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
He took it, went to his room, and when his mom went to go check on him during the night or the next morning, he was dead.
She had tried to resuscitate him. She said, but there was no way to do that. She said, watch Snapchat. I know she says she's warning just like you are that that's a place. Watch your kids. Watch Snapchat. And that apparently they laced it with fentanyl, she believed, because they try to get you hooked. And that's a good way to sort of intensify the feeling. And he didn't know it, but the dealer did and thought, great, I got a new customer. And he overdosed as a result.
Correct. And we would have never known it was on Snapchat unless until a friend came and said, I think this is what where he's been buying from. And so, again, right then and there, when the police get involved, the first thing I tell my officers, actually, I'm leaving right now to Southern Illinois to teach a class on this. You have to do something called a preservation that holds the information for 90 days. And even if they delete it, we still have it. Then we follow up with a search warrant or a subpoena, and we can find out who all their customers are. Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, they'll give us all that data as long as we have the appropriate search warrants and due process.
All right. A subject we should revisit again, and maybe even take some calls maybe next week or something. You can make some time for us, Detective. But this, I just wanted to get the word out there because I didn't know, and that explains a lot about how they're obtaining it. But we can talk more about this. Maybe.
Right. And the biggest thing before we go, Anna, is that parents need to understand that there is monitoring software out there. There's monitoring software such as Bark that you can put in your kid's device, and it'll be a condition of using the phone. And the second of all, the schools need to be understandable that those devices that they give their kids, there's software out there like Lightspeed, and it'll give alerts that there's drug use going on to the school and the parent, so we can get on it before it becomes a problem. And then, of course, we can later on we can talk about drug testing in the home and what a great tool that is for your kids when they go out and they can say, I can't do that. My parents drug test me.
Detective Rich Wostocki, thank you for the information. To be continued, more to come on that topic for sure.